7-year-old girl hears her mother's voice for the very first time, and it only took a single injection. Good morning. Welcome to Brightside Daily. I'm Rory, alongside Elizabeth.
And today, we've got four stories that prove the world is making more progress than the headlines suggest.
We're leading with a gene therapy breakthrough that's restoring hearing in children born deaf.
Plus, 30,000 salmon returning to rivers where they haven't been seen in decades.
Let's get into it. Imagine never having heard a single sound. Not music, not birdsong, not your own name spoken by someone who loves you. That was the reality for a 7-year-old girl born with a genetic mutation that left her profoundly deaf. Her ears were structurally fine, but a single faulty gene meant the protein responsible for transmitting sound from her inner ear to her brain simply wasn't there. Then came one injection. A synthetic virus carrying a working copy of the gene delivered directly into her inner ear. Within weeks, she began to hear. Within months, she was having conversations with her mother for the first time in her life.
Within weeks, that's what gets me. Cochlear implants can take years to show full benefit. This was weeks.
Exactly. And she's not alone. The trial treated 10 patients with the same out of gene mutation, and every single one showed significant improvement. That's 100% response rate. The international team behind this, a collaboration between Chinese and Swedish researchers, has essentially cracked genetic deafness at its source. Not amplifying sound, not bypassing the problem, actually repairing it.
And the safety profile?
No serious adverse effects reported so far. Now, there are caveats. This was a small trial. The longest follow-up is under 2 years. And the treatment only works for this specific type of genetic deafness, not hearing loss from aging or noise exposure. But for the roughly 1 in 500 newborns worldwide born with genetic hearing loss, this changes the conversation entirely.
As one of the researchers put it, we're not just treating deafness, we're giving families a voice they never had. 30,000. That's how many endangered coho salmon returned to California's Mendocino Coast over the past 2 years. 10 times the average from the previous decade. Double the previous record. These are Central California coast coho, the most endangered of all coho species. They once filled rivers from Monterey to Humboldt County. By recent years, they've been reduced to a few thousand fish, clinging on in isolated streams.
So what changed?
NOAA ran over 100 restoration projects along the coast, removed concrete barriers, installed fish ladders, redesigned culverts to work with natural water flow rather than against it. And the salmon responded. They showed up in watersheds where they hadn't been seen for 20 or 30 years. The most extraordinary moment? Coho returned to the Russian River for the first time in 3 decades. Local communities who remembered abundant runs from childhood watched silvery fish jumping upstream again.
That's remarkable. And it's a reminder that these recoveries don't happen by accident. That's 100 plus projects, years of work, thousands of people.
It is. And the species is still vulnerable. Drought, climate change, ocean conditions, one bad year could set things back. But the trajectory is undeniable.
100 projects, 30,000 fish, and rivers remembering what they were built for. Here's a number that should stop you in your tracks. Artificial intelligence currently consumes more than 10% of all US electricity. And that's projected to double by 2030.
That is a staggering amount of power.
It is. Which is why what researchers at Tufts University have just published matters so much. They've built an AI system that uses 1% of the training energy and 5% of the operational energy of traditional neural networks. 100-fold reduction. And here's the part that breaks the usual trade-off. It doesn't just use less energy. It's dramatically better, 95% accuracy on complex reasoning tasks, compared to 34% for traditional approaches.
Wait, so it's cheaper to run and more accurate? That never happens.
It does if you change the architecture. The Tufts team combined neural networks with something called symbolic reasoning. Think of it this way. Standard AI learns by brute force. It sees millions of examples and spots patterns. This new approach adds a layer of logic on top, the way a human might combine experience with reasoning. It's called neurosymbolic AI, and it proves that in artificial intelligence, bigger isn't always better.
That feels like exactly the kind of shift the industry needs right now. Every new model seems to need its own power station.
The big question is whether this scales to the massive general purpose systems the tech giants are chasing. That's unproven, but the principle is sound. And if even a fraction of the industry adopts this approach, the energy savings would be enormous. What happens when the rest of the AI world catches up?
Right, picture this. 6 lanes of busy interstate highway in Colorado, thousands of vehicles every hour, and crossing above them, on a bridge covered in native grassland and shrubs, a herd of elk strolling from one side of the valley to the other. North America's largest wildlife overpass has just opened on Interstate 25, and it's designed to do something beautifully simple. Let animals cross the road safely.
How bad was the collision problem there?
About 1 wildlife strike per day on that stretch. Elk, deer, antelope, dangerous for the animals, dangerous for drivers. The overpass is expected to cut those collisions by 90%. What makes this one different from tunnels and underpasses is the design. It's open, clear sight lines, gentle slopes, native plants that feel familiar to migrating animals. Engineers worked alongside wildlife biologists and landscape architects to build something that doesn't just function as a bridge, it functions as habitat.
I love that framing. Not wildlife as an obstacle to infrastructure. Wildlife as a legitimate user of the landscape.
That's exactly the philosophy behind it, and it builds on proven success. Banff National Park has had wildlife crossings for years, and they've dramatically reduced collisions while keeping migration routes intact. It'll take time for the animals to get used to it. Some species may take years. But here's the detail that stuck with me. The project didn't just involve engineers. It involved the animals themselves. Researchers studied local migration patterns for years before choosing the exact location.
Time for our rapid fire round. Here are this week's numbers that matter.
A hidden nutrient called quercetin has been linked to brain health, memory, and cancer defense. After 30 years, scientists at the University of Florida and Trinity College Dublin have finally discovered how it enters our cells. The gene is called SLC35F2, and it may explain why gut health affects brain function more than we thought.
The FDA has granted breakthrough device designation to Serial CTRS, an AI model that assesses risk for non-small cell lung cancer. That's the leading cause of cancer death globally. Breakthrough status means fast-tracked review and potentially reaching patients years sooner.
The High Seas Treaty officially entered force in January 2026, creating the first legal framework to protect 64% of the world's ocean. That's the 2/3 that belongs to no single nation and until now had virtually no environmental protection.
India's flagship conservation programs are delivering. Project Tiger, Project Elephant, and Project Dolphin are all reporting major species gains. And 2 new initiatives, Project Cheetah and Project Snow Leopard, are expanding the country's commitment to biodiversity recovery.
And finally, the 4 Ocean Foundation has pulled more than 3 million pounds of plastic from oceans, rivers, and coastlines worldwide, all in just 2 years.
That's your Bright Side Daily for Wednesday.
If any of those stories made you feel a bit more hopeful about the world, share this episode with someone who could use some good news today.
And for the full stories, with all the links and sources, head to thebrightside.news. Everything we cover is there in detail.
Tomorrow, we've got a deep dive into how one community is turning abandoned mines into renewable energy storage. You won't want to miss it.
Until then, keep looking for the bright side.
It's out there and it's growing.